Hello, we're back with 10 Minutes of Talmud, and today we are talking a little bit more about incense. So we'll say our blessing and be on our way. Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Kidshanu, B'mitzvotav Ratzivanu La'asok B'divrei Torah. All right, we're picking right back up where we were. We're in Tractate Yoma, Chapter 3, we're in Halakha 9. If you're in the Schottenstein, that's 25A4, and remember we had talked about people who were remembered for good, people who had done things basically for the temple that were great, and then we had the Mishnah about people that were remembered for ill, people who had done things for the temple but then refused to pass on their knowledge. So we learned about the people with the showbread, and now we're into this material about Beit Avtinas, the house of Avtinas, who knew all about how to create the incense and refused to pass on the knowledge. And that one of the most selfish things they did was to not identify the plant that is called the Ma'ale Ashan, which makes the incense go straight up and then spread out and profuse back down, as opposed to if you just have the incense without that ingredient, and then it just profuses right at floor level, probably choking everybody in the nearest vicinity. Ketoret is it's a pretty pungent thing. By the way, you know, there is the recipe for how you make incense. Look in any traditional prayer book, and it's right after Enkel Eloheinu. And just remember, when you look at that recipe, that is a huge institutional batch of the stuff. So if you're going to try and recreate the incense, first of all, we don't have some of those ingredients, and you're just going to have to approximate. But what you're going to find out is that, strangely enough, it does not smell good. It is not a sweet, pleasant smell. It is really strong and pungent. It's not pleasing to a modern nose. So, just forewarned is forearmed. Okay. All right. Uma'ale Ashan lo hayu b'ki'in shel Beit Avtinas haya mitameret v'ola. So they're saying that this other family that they got to make the incense didn't have this ingredient that made the incense of Beit Avtinas so good. Ufo said that you read it because then it goes up and then spreads out and then it descends. Shel elu haita pasar miyad. But this incense would spread out immediately. V'cheivan shiyad u'chachamim bidvar amrut. And when the sages heard about this, they said, kol ma shebara hakadosh baruch hu lichvodo bara. Everything that the Holy One, blessed be He, has created, He created for His honor. Shine emar, kol hanikra bishmi v'gomer, everything that is called in My name, I created for My honor. And that's Isaiah 43:7. Okay. Now we're on 25b1. Shalchu achareihem v'lo ratzu mavo. So they sent after the people of Beit Avtinas, but the people of Beit Avtinas did not want to return and pick up making the incense again. Ad shekaflu lahen zechara, until they got double the wages. Let's hear it for collective bargaining. Shnei asar mana hayu notlin, they used to get 12 manas as their fee. Vanat Numahen, Esrim, Ba'arba, and now they gave them 24 manas. Now, this amount, 24, is not some random amount. It is kind of a reflection of the 24 different delegations from around the land of Israel who would come to work in the temple for 2 weeks out of the year. So one has a sneaking suspicion that this hike was passed on to these local delegations of priests who would come in and just would, you know, pay the difference. That's it. That's my theory, but I think it's a decent theory. Okay. All right. Esrim v'arba hayu notlim. Rabbi Yehuda omer. Esrim v'arba hayu notlim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, 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 that's not how it was. They already were getting 24 manas. V'natnu lehen arba'im ushmona. And then they gave them 48 manas. All right, so we have two different traditions. Regardless, they're always getting double what they had before. Amru lahen. And so the people that were bargaining said, you know, said this to them, Mipnei ma en atem rotzim lelamed. Why aren't you willing to teach the rest of us how to make this incense? Amru lahen. And they said to their questioners, Masor hi biyadenu me'avotenu. This is a tradition that we have had in our hands from our forefathers. Shehabayit hazeh atid lechavev. That this temple is destined to be destroyed. Shelo yomidu acherim. And we don't want others to make incense. By Yehoshim came with Ne'avodaza Rashalahen, and we don't want our incense burned while they are worshiping their idols. Okay. Bitvarim halalu maskirin otan l'shevach. And for those words, they were remembered for good. Okay. Shelo yetzet isha shel echad mehen mevusemet me'olam. And here's what they remembered for good from Beit Avtinas, that never did any one of their wives go out wearing perfume. Perfume was incredibly important in the ancient days. Lo od, and not only that, Ele keshehaya echad mehen nosei isha mimakom acher. When one of them would marry a woman from another place, haya posekema shalo titasim. He would stipulate in her ketubah that she could not use perfume because they didn't want anyone to say that they were using the incense in their houses for something just, you know, for personal pleasure. So they could not, so the wives really had to support this practice and support their husbands. And that they remembered for good. Okay. I just want to bring out one thing. If you are looking in the Schottenstein here, the Schottensteins keep saying that it's the sages who ask, the sages who ask, the sages who ask. But if you read the text, most of this is just like an unspecified person or persons who are speaking. And this tendency to read back into the text, the sages, when the sages probably didn't exist, is not good scholarly practice. As I always say to my students, keep your strata straight. Don't be reading Mishnah back into Tanakh. Don't be reading Zohar back into Mishnah. Keep it straight. That way you won't get into trouble the way art school did. All right. Okay. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.